Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in the next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with this program, which is called Caution, Low Nuts at Work. What we're doing is taking a look at the milieu that spawned Buford Furrow, who killed a Filipino-American mailman and shot up a bunch of Jewish school children at a Jewish community center in August of 1999, and the milieu of another alleged lone nut, Lee Harvey Oswald. We've concluded our last half-hour segment with a look at Dick Russell's landmark book, The Man Who Knew Too Much, published in hard and soft cover by Carroll and Graff Publishers, copyright 1992. And in The Man Who Knew Too Much, Dick Russell chronicles the efforts of American fascist Gerald L. K. Smith, part of the milieu that spawned the Aryan Nations in Buford Furrow, in portraying the assassination of John F. Kennedy as the work of, quote, international Zionism, unquote. Gerald L. K. Smith in the 1930s founded the Christian Mobilizers and published a magazine called The Cross and the Flag, and he was affiliated with, among others, German intelligence in the pre-World War II and early World War II periods. In connection with the assassination of John Kennedy's brother Robert, we've also seen Aryan Nations elements at work. The people believed by most researchers to have done the actual shooting, a fellow named Thane Eugene Caesar, had documented white supremacist connections and also was working in the Lockheed Burbank facility in an area associated with the CIA's U-2 project. Also, Oswald also associated with the U-2. We've taken a look in RFA programs 12 and 13 at Keith Gilbert. He was a lieutenant of Richard Butler, head of the Aryan Nations, for quite some time. Gilbert was convicted of attempting to kill Martin Luther King by blowing him up with powerful explosives. His name was also linked in the LAPD files with a fellow named Wayne, who was not only a double of Saron Saron, but was actually present in the Ambassador Hotel on June 6th of 1999 when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. One of the handlers for Saron Saron, who, like Oswald, was a patsy, was a fellow named the Reverend Jerry Owen, nicknamed the Walking Bible. We took a look at Jerry Owen at great length in RFA program number 9 about the assassination of Robert Kennedy, and we're going to return to Jerry Owen once again and to take a look at Jerry Owen and his connections to the milieu of Gerald L. K. Smith, Wesley Swift, William Potter Gale, Richard Gurnt Butler, and ultimately Buford Furrow. We're going to rely on the book that we relied on for almost all of RFA program number 9, namely a book called The Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, The Conspiracy and Cover-Up, that was co-authored by former FBI agent William W. Turner and John Christian. The book was published in softcover by Thunder's Mouth Press and was copyrighted in 1993. We also have relied in the past on the hardcover edition published in 1978 by Random House. When the Reverend Jerry Owen, again one of Saron's handlers in the assassination of Robert Kennedy, showed up for his interview by the Los Angeles Police Department in connection with the assassination of Robert Kennedy, he was accompanied by none other than the Reverend Jonathan Perkins, who for many years was the personal secretary to the late Gerald L. K. Smith, about whom we've already heard. Turning to Turner and Christian's The Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, we read, "The Reverend Jonathan Perkins, the elderly minister who Owen said accompanied him for the interview at SUS headquarters, did not appear at first glance to be a promising witness. He was a longtime friend of Owen, and for over 20 years had been personal secretary to the late Gerald L. K. Smith, the virulent anti-Semite who founded the Christian Nationalist Crusade. Perkins conducted his own ministry at the Embassy Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, a favorite meeting place for right-wing fundamentalists. The Christian Nationalist Crusade held meetings there, as did the racist Church of Jesus Christ Christian, and occasionally Jerry Owen staged revival meetings there as well." And in an asterisk we read, "The Church of Jesus Christ Christian figured prominently in the previously mentioned investigation by the California Attorney General's office into right-wing paramilitary groups. It was led by the Reverend Wesley A. Swift of Lancaster on the fringe of the Mojave Desert." And we are going to hear more about the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, the Aryan Nations, Wesley Swift and company. In addition to the name Gerald L. K. Smith and Wesley Swift, whom we looked at in this L.A. Times article from 8/13/99, I want to also call your attention to William Potter Gale. in RFA programs 12 and 13 about the assassination of President Kennedy and its connections with the Aryan nations. Actually, RFA programs 10 through 13 deal with the evolution of American fascism and the Aryan nations. We took a look at William Potter Gale and his association with a right-wing paramilitary milieu that spanned much of the United States, including the Deep South and California. This milieu, in turn, was inextricably linked with the Ku Klux Klan, the National States Rights Party, the American Nazi Party per se, and as we saw, there are many evidentiary tributaries running between this milieu and this country's political assassinations, including the assassination of President Kennedy. Indeed, as Bill Turner, the author of Power on the Right, one of the sources we used for RFA programs 10 through 13, noted, killing the three Ks, the Kennedys, John and Robert, and Martin Luther King, was regular dinner table conversation in this particular milieu. Now, we've already taken a look at Joseph Adams Miltier. He was an American fascist who, on November 10th of 1963, described to an undercover Miami police informant plans to assassinate John F. Kennedy by shooting him from a high-rise office building with a high-powered rifle, and also plans to dispatch Martin Luther King in a similar fashion, and in turn, this was connected with the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in which four young black girls were killed in April of 1963. Again, for further documentation on this, contact Spitfire and get a hold of RFA programs 12 and 13. More about William Potter Gale and his connections to this right-wing paramilitary milieu, which not only overlapped the intelligence community's war on Fidel Castro in the 1960s and this country's political assassinations, but which also was inextricably linked with the milieu of Messrs. Swift, that's Wesley Swift, Gerald L. K. Smith, Richard Butler, and that milieu ultimately spawned the lone nut, quote-unquote, Buford Furrow. Turning once again to the book The Man Who Knew Too Much by Dick Russell, we read of William Potter Gale. Out on the West Coast, Miltier's counterpart was Constitution Party chairman. Miltier's counterpart as Constitution Party chairman in California was retired Colonel William Potter Gale, also the one-time MacArthur guerrilla commander in the Philippines and organizer of a Minuteman offshoot in Southern California. According to Garrison investigation files, Gale often played host to anti-Castro freedom fighters, unquote. He was also friendly with General Walker, reportedly staying at his house in Dallas in July of 1963. Of course, Jim Garrison was investigating Gale in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. More about Gale from The Man Who Knew Too Much by Dick Russell, this in connection with a group called the Anti-Communist Liaison, which in turn heavily overlapped the MacArthur group, as did the milieu of the Aryan Nations. Speaking of the Anti-Communist Liaison in the early 1960s, Dick Russell writes, "The new group's insider was U.S. Representative John Russolo, a John Birch Society spokesman and Christian Crusade board member from Los Angeles. It also had a Southern California, quote, outsider, unquote, Colonel William Potter Gale, yet another ex-MacArthur man. A logistical organizer of American guerrilla forces in the Philippine campaign, by 1944, Gale was director of supply to the U.S. Army Forces Far East. He then spent 3.5 years with the occupation forces in Tokyo, where he would later brag, quote, nobody got a building in Japan without my personal approval, unquote. Gale retired at only 33 in 1950, going to work for billionaire Howard Hughes Aircraft Company as, quote, manager of government property control, unquote, in Hollywood, and bringing a number of his Far Eastern cronies along. Here, Gale also hooked up with Wesley Swift, an evangelist and Ku Klux Klan organizer in the little Southern California town of Lancaster. In 1962, as California State Chairman of the Constitution Party, Colonel Gale announced his candidacy for the governorship on a platform calling for the abolition of all income taxes. He also organized, soon after the pivotal springtime meeting in Washington, a paramilitary outfit. Willoughby, Del Valle, and a number of other military officers put together Gale's tactical guide, or Manual of Arms for the Future. It suggested that, quote, patriotic underground armies should be established, named the Rangers, who should train to assassinate, sabotage, and overthrow the, quote, people's democracy, unquote. That, by the way, was a reference to the government of the United States. And again, for more about the milieu of William Potter Gale and its connections not only to the Aryan Nations, but also to this country's political assassinations, RFA programs 12 and 13 go into that at considerable length, particularly RFA program number 12. What we're going to take a look at now is another associate of William Potter Gale, and yet another person whom we went into in RFA program 12 and 13. This is a fellow named Lauren Eugene Hall. And what we're going to take a look at now are connections between the milieu that ultimately spawned Buford Furrow, again, the milieu of William Potter Gale, the milieu of Wesley Swift, the milieu of Gerald L. K. Smith, as described in the L.A. Times article of 8/13/99, and the attempts to portray the work of Lee Harvey Oswald, another lone nut, as the work of the communists. Again, this is one of the reasons why the assassination of President Kennedy was covered up, is because there were elaborate attempts to pin this on the Soviet Union and or Castro's Cuba. And as we're going to see, the milieu that spawned Buford Furrow was inextricably linked with the milieu that helped to generate that misinformation. Very important misinformation it was. What we're going to take a look at now is the participation of Lauren Eugene Hall in paramilitary raid on Castro's Cuba in 1963. This particular raid, called the Martino Mission, involved an amalgam of U.S. intelligence operatives, U.S. ultra-right-wing functionaries, and also some journalists, as we're going to see. Now, this particular raid, again, a guerrilla raid on Castro's Cuba, was linked by John Martino to an alleged attempt by Fidel Castro to retaliate against President Kennedy. This raid figures into the commies kill JFK scenario because it was allegedly in response to this raid, or even having turned some of the raiders, that Fidel Castro allegedly tried to kill, ordered Lee Harvey Oswald, the supposed communist, to kill President Kennedy. In fact, John F. Kennedy was in the process of normalizing relations with Fidel Castro, who was going to move away from the Soviet Union. That and a number of other aspects of the research basically render this the contention that this particular guerrilla raid was led to a retaliation against Kennedy by Castro to be the nonsense that it quite assuredly is. However, it's worth noting that the milieu of Lauren Eugene Hall and William Potter Gale was involved with the attempts to basically paint Oswald red and to paint the assassination of John Kennedy as the work of the communists. Bear in mind that Oswald was a patsy and did not perform the assassination. For a look at the significance of the Bio-Pauli-Martino raid in generating the commies killed Kennedy canard. That's something that author Peter Dale Scott refers to as a Phase 1 cover-up. We're going to take a look at Peter Dale Scott's landmark book entitled Deep Politics and the Death of JFK. That was published in hardcover by the University of California Press and copyright 1993. Now, as I mentioned, this book is very important and a must-have for any serious researcher. It also has some serious flaws, so that caveat. Now, bear in mind, again, looking at the milieu that spawned Buford Furrow, we're going to take a look at another of the associates of William Potter Gale, Wesley Swift et al., namely Lauren Eugene Hall, and take a look at the people involved with Lauren Eugene Hall. Again, we're told that these people are marginal figures, they're just a bunch of nuts with no serious connections, and yet look at what Lauren Eugene Hall, one of the associates of the milieu that spawned Buford Furrow, look at who he was associated with. Again, turning to Deep Politics and the Death of JFK by Peter Dale Scott, we're going to take a look at some of the participants with Lauren Eugene Hall in the Bio-Martino-Pauli raid used by the American far right to try to paint the assassination of JFK as a communist conspiracy. Peter Dale Scott writes, in 1963, Hall was attending the West Coast meetings of the Paramilitary Christian Defense League, whose leader, Lieutenant Colonel William Gale, was a Minuteman ally and the California chairman for James Miltier's racist Constitution Party. Hall, paramilitary right-winger Jerry Hemming, and Martino all are said to have had racist associations in this period, raising questions about the role in the Bio-Pauli raid of Senator Eastland, at the time the most powerful racist in the Senate and perhaps indeed the country. In Chapter 16, we shall ask whether Oswald's secret agenda was not also to feed the segregationist propaganda mills of Eastland Senate Internal Security Subcommittee. A third and important member of the Bio-Martino-Pauli team was the hit team leader Eddie Bio, alias Perez, a veteran of the anti-Kennedy Cuban exile group Alpha 66. Bio's brother-in-law, Luis Castillo, later floated the Martino-Roselli retaliation theory in the Philippines. When Roselli went public with the story of the Kennedy assassination as a retaliation of the CIA mafia plots, a secret CIA Inspector General investigation of his claim noted its similarity to Castillo's. Now, bear in mind that, as Peter Dale Scott has written, of the participants in this raid, another was Lauren Eugene Hall, by his own account, a former worker in a Havana casino owned by Santos Traficante. Now, bear in mind, he is the William Potter Gale associate, who was one of the people who trained this particular mission, again, in retaliation for which Fidel Castro allegedly ordered Lee Harvey Oswald to kill President Kennedy. Let's take a look at some of Lauren Eugene Hall's other associates in this raid. Continuing with Scott's account, according to published accounts and photographs, a fourth member was a Rolando Martinez, the Cuban exile and contract CIA employee who would later be caught and convicted in the 1972 Watergate affair. One has to ask of his presence on this Bayo-Martino-Pauli mission the same question one has to ask of his participation in the Watergate burglary attempt. Was he present precisely to force the CIA into colluding in a subsequent cover-up? And of yet another participant with later Watergate burglar Rolando Martinez and Lauren Eugene Hall. Returning once again to Deep Politics and the Death of JFK by Peter Dale Scott, a sixth person on the boat was Richard N. Billings, along to write up a story for Life magazine where he was an editor. An important early investigator of the Kennedy assassination, he would later be selected by Robert Blakey as the editorial director of the House Select Committee's report. Billings was there under an arrangement that was common for unauthorized operations, unquote, in this period. A story with pictures for Life would help pay for the operation. So note that Richard Billings, another of the participants in this raid used to help cover up the Kennedy assassination by portraying the Kennedy assassination as Castro's retaliation for this raid, another of the participants was Richard Billings, an associate of G. Robert Blakey, the fellow who headed up the House Select Committee's badly compromised investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy. And his associate, Richard Billings, who wrote the House Select Committee's report, was yet another participant in this raid, along with the William Potter Gale and Wesley Swift associate, Lauren Eugene Hall. Yet another participant in this raid, someone who helped to put forward some of the financing, was none other than Julian Sauerwein, and we're going to take a look at him right now. Turning once again to Deep Politics and the Death of JFK, the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee of Senator Eastland, and to a limited extent, speaking of the Bayo-Pauli raid, its anti-Kennedy purpose had gained Bayo and Martino the support of Pauli, Life, the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee of Senator Eastland, and to a limited extent, personnel of the CIA. The House Assassinations Committee learned that Julian Sauerwein, counsel to the Senate Subcommittee, quote, was involved in financing the operation, which has come to be known as the Bayo-Pauli raid, unquote, and that it, again quoting, saw evidence that the CIA knew of Sauerwein's involvement. So Julian Sauerwein, basically counsel to the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, a participant with later Watergate burglar Rolando Martinez, along with William Potter Gale, Wesley Swift, associate of Lauren Eugene Hall, in the Bayo-Pauli raid. We've taken a look at Julian Sauerwein in connection with generating the commies killed Kennedy canard, and specifically we took a look at this in For the Record segment 158, in which we took a look at the life and times of Senator Thomas Dodd, whose subcommittee Oswald may have been working for when he ordered mail order firearms. Bear in mind that Oswald could have ordered a gun right over the counter in Texas without any trace whatsoever. Julian Sauerwein was involved along with Thomas Dodd in helping to float the KGB killed Kennedy scenario. This made the assassination of a Ukrainian fascist, Stefan Bandera, allegedly by a KGB assassin named Bogdan Stashinsky, to have been part of the same operation which resulted allegedly in the commie Oswald killing Kennedy for the KGB. We took a look at this at great length in RFA Program 15 and again in RFA Program 37 as well as For the Record Segment 158. Returning once again to Deep Politics and the Death of JFK by Peter Dale Scott, speaking of the Oswald Stashinsky Bandera canard, a toned-down version of the story was subsequently published by Julian Sauerwein's Senate Internal Security Subcommittee with help supplied via Senator Thomas Dodd from within the CIA. Bear in mind, again, we're looking at areas of overlap between the milieu that spawned Lee Harvey Oswald, the Lone Nut, and the milieu that spawned Buford Furrow, also allegedly a Lone Nut, but in fact being manipulated by the powers of fascism. And bear in mind, too, the connections of Senator Thomas Dodd. But turning once again to deep politics and the death of JFK, the whole Dodd, Stashinsky, Oswald, Bandera assassination canard, again discussed in RFA programs 15 and 37, and For the Record segment 158, all of those available from Spitfire. More about Dodd, sour wine, and the attempt to portray the assassination of JFK as a commie conspiracy. In the early 1960s, the American Security Council was the leading public group campaigning to use American military force to oust Castro from Cuba and to escalate the war in Vietnam. Senator Dodd was on the ASC payroll when he generated the Senate subcommittee report on Stashinsky's supposed murder training school, that alleged murder training school being run allegedly by the KGB and involving Oswald. Bear in mind that the American Security Council grew out of the American Vigilance Intelligence Federation of Harry Jung, who was a prominent Chicago-area fascist associated with the Hitler-Goebbels anti-Comintern in 1939 and 40. So again, in the person of Julian Sourwine, we actually see a link between the Bio-Pauli raid, in which Gail associate Lauren Eugene Hall was a participant, and the Stashinsky Bandera-Oswald canard that was floated for the Senate Internal Subcommittee by Julian Sourwine and also Thomas Dodd with the aid of the CIA. And again, that's discussed in RFAs 15 and 37 and For the Record segment 158. By way of understanding, too, the deep politics involving the milieu that spawned the Lone Nut Oswald and the Lone Nut Buford Furrow, it's important to understand that this not only runs through Watergate, and bear in mind that one of the participants in the Bio-Pauli Martino raid was later Watergate burglar Rolando Martinez, as we've seen, associated with Lauren Eugene Hall, but it runs right on up through the Iran-Contra scandal. What we're going to take a look at next is the alleged connection of Lauren Eugene Hall to an alleged, the allegation that Lauren Eugene Hall was involved in a methamphetamine synthesizing ring, some of whose proceeds went to support the Contra War in Nicaragua. What we're going to do next is to excerpt a program that I produced in March of 1990 for WBAI-FM, the Pacifica station in New York. This program is entitled The Wild Wild West, and it reviews some of the Iran-Contra drug connections as reported by the American news media in the late 80s and early 1990s. From Denver, Colorado, where we looked at the Sunflow case, we're going to move south now to Dallas, Texas, and we're going to look now at a man named Lauren Eugene Hall Sr. of Mesquite, Texas, an individual whose name crops up in connection both with allegations of Contra-related drug smuggling and the assassination of President Kennedy. By the way, this particular article is read in the Drug Tug Case Part 2, a miscellaneous archive show. Research credit on this article goes to a listener, and this comes from the Dallas Morning News of Wednesday, September 13th of 1989. The article was authored by Lee Hancock of the Dallas Morning News, and it's headlined, Man Claims CIA Tied to Speed Ring. It involves allegations that Lauren Eugene Hall Sr. set up a methamphetamine ring in order to help finance the Contras. The article reads as follows. A methamphetamine ring based in Mesquite was set up by a CIA operative to funnel money to the Nicaraguan Contras, one of the alleged participants has testified in federal court. The testimony came during a hearing in Tulsa where Lauren Eugene Hall Jr. appeared Monday to plead guilty to drug charges. He told the court that his father, Lauren Eugene Hall Sr. of Mesquite, was a CIA agent who recruited him and others to manufacture speed to raise money for the Contras, said Jack Morgan, assistant U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Oklahoma. Skipping down on the article, a federal drug conspiracy indictment handed down in Tulsa in July names Lauren Eugene Hall Sr., 59, his daughter Barbara Ann Martaney, 34, of Mesquite, Martaney, M-A-R-T-E-N-E-Y, and his sons Michael Stephen Hall, 36, of Bern, Kansas, and Lauren Eugene Hall Jr., 34, of Derby, Kansas, and two other Kansas residents. The indictment charges that the elder Mr. Hall led the ring which manufactured methamphetamine between October of 1987 and February of 1989. Lauren Hall Jr. and Michael Hall pleaded guilty Monday.
Their father and sister remain at large. Court documents indicate the ring was broken when Oklahoma State Bureau of Narcotics Investigators and Mesquite Police trailed Lauren Hall Jr. after he purchased glassware and chemicals at a Grand Prairie chemical store. Mr. Hall and another man were arrested in Noble County, Oklahoma, as they were carrying those items and several high-caliber firearms to Kansas in a stolen truck, according to the indictment. Federal investigators and Oklahoma State narcotics agents believe the ring repeatedly bought chemicals in Dallas and Oklahoma to manufacture speed, Mr. Morgan said. Investigators believe the elder Mr. Hall served as the group's cook, quote-unquote, setting up labs in Scurry, Texas, Balch Springs, and Burns, Kansas. Mr. Morgan said investigators probably never will determine the truth of claims that the group had ties to the CIA. But Mr. Morgan, a Mesquite police investigator and defense attorneys representing Hall family members, all said there was evidence suggesting that Lauren Hall Sr. worked for the CIA in some capacity. Quote, he has a long history of involvement with the CIA attempts to overthrow Cuban President Fidel Castro, Mr. Morgan said. He was involved in the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion. In 1961, he got arrested with a truckload of guns in Texas, and he was transporting them from California to Florida for that invasion, unquote. His name also has surfaced in congressional investigations of the John F. Kennedy assassination. The elder Mr. Hall was described in a 1979 House Select Committee on Assassinations report as a one-time resident of Cuba with ties to anti-Castro groups in the United States and organized crime in both countries. And, Mr. Morgan said, his name is the subject of a chapter in the book Coup d'etat in America, which speculates about CIA involvement in a plot to kill President Kennedy. The chapter, titled Lauren Hall and the Free Cuba Committees, quote-unquote, details allegations of CIA financing and orchestration of a plot by anti-Castro groups to kill President Kennedy. In the last few years, he supposedly was involved with CIA attempts to overthrow the Nicaraguan government, unquote, Mr. Morgan said. Lauren Eugene Hall Jr. has told investigators that his father was a 17-year CIA employee, most recently involved in running guns to Central America, Mr. Morgan said. The son also has told investigators about incidents in which helicopters appeared at his father's Kansas farm, burying men who carried automatic weapons and answered to military titles such as Colonel and Major, Mr. Morgan said. Jim Heflett, H-E-F-L-E-T, a Tulsa attorney representing the younger Mr. Hall, said that his client still believes the operation was a CIA front. Quote, it may be true. There's quite an extensive history on his father's CIA involvement, Mr. Heflett said. Again quoting, my client told me that a lot of his dad's involvement, specifically in the Kennedy assassination, has been sealed up, and we never may find out what it was, unquote. Mr. Morgan said federal officials believe the elder Mr. Hall may be hiding in Kansas, Honduras, or Costa Rica. This is a pretty strange case all around, unquote, unquote, Mr. Morgan said.
That again excerpted from a segment called The Wild Wild West, produced for WBAI-FM in March of 1990. That, in turn, was excerpted from a Dallas Morning News article from September 13th of 1989. In RFA programs 12 and 13, we took a look at Lauren Eugene Hall and his connections to the milieu of the assassination of President Kennedy, and in particular his involvement with the story of Sylvia Odio. For more details, check RFA 13, available from Spitfire. RFA 12 and 13, available from Spitfire. I would also note that the House Select Committee report on the assassination of President Kennedy made a reference to Lauren Eugene Hall. Bear in mind the person who wrote that report, Richard Billings, was a participant along with that very same Lauren Eugene Hall in the Bayo Martino Pauli raid, which was used to help generate the Castro-killed Kennedy canard. Again, the point being that when we see Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged commie, and Buford Furrow, the alleged lone nut, the same forces were involved in spawning both to a certain extent. Oswald was no lone nut any more than Buford Furrow was, and Oswald certainly was not a communist. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.